Welcome to the Future Work Playbook. This podcast series features founders, investors, and legal talent that will help you embrace technology and transform your organization for a better future. This series is hosted by Natalie Pierce, the chair of Gunderson Dettmer's Labor and Employment Law Practice. Natalie and her guests are committed to helping you develop new playbooks to elevate your game.
Welcome to Future Work Playbook, where we explore how innovative companies are reshaping business and work. I'm Natalie Pierce from Gunderson Dettmer. We are devoting this season to our clients who are on Fast Company's prestigious list of the most innovative companies. Today, we're joined by Paulo Neto, Chief People and Performance Officer at Justo, Latin America's fastest growing online grocery platform. Since its founding in 2019, Justo has expanded across Mexico, Brazil, and Peru, raising over $240 million to revolutionize grocery delivery while supporting local farmers and communities. Paulo will share insights on managing rapid growth, building efficient operations across three countries, and creating a sustainable work culture in the competitive e-commerce space. Paulo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Natalie. Thank you, Future Work. Thank you, Gunderson, to have this opportunity to talk with you all. And thank you once again, and appreciate a lot this space to talk with your listeners.
Well, we have so been looking forward to this discussion, Paulo. Justo is such an exciting company and so well-deserving of that Fast Company recognition. Paulo, why don't we get started by having you introduce yourself and perhaps telling our audience a little bit about you and your company?
Yes, sure. So I'm Paulo Neto. I'm Brazilian. I have been working for more than 25 years in a lot of markets with FMCG companies. And on 2021, I was invited to be part of a Justo team, and I started to be responsible for people. And now I'm responsible for people, customer value, and also the business intelligence. So, and we are doing great. We are growing fast, and we have a lot of challenges during this journey.
That is a lot of hats that you wear, Paulo.
Yeah, yes. Sure, sure.
Never a dull moment is what I imagine. Well, the concept of Justo, I'm saying Justo and you're saying Justo, but I think in Brazil, maybe it's pronounced a little differently than in Mexico. Is that fair?
No, it's the same. Justo is Justo in Brazil, Justo in Mexico. Just in Peru, is called Fresh Mart by Justo.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So Justo, it's a supermarket platform. It offers a wide range of fruits, vegetables, meat products. And really what makes it such an innovative and powerful and fast-growing company is how Justo is leveraging technology. How do you use technology to personalize the customer experience on your platform?
Great question. Justo is 100% a digital platform, 100%. And as we are digital, 100%, and we are operating, of course, with apps in web. And regarding the experience that you're asking me, we are all days during all time, because we are 24/7, we have thousands and thousands of interactions, okay? As a digital supermarket, we have mapped all the customer journey during the time that he or she enter in the application, okay? Mm-hmm. And all these interactions we have mapped to know exactly how looks like the customer. If he's a single, if he's a married, if they have a children, or if they have a pet. By the way that they are buying and shopping, we know exactly how looks like the shopper, okay? And even lifetime value, that is a terminology that you are using, LTV, that saying that this customer is a customer that spend a lot of time with us and also a lot of money with us, buying a full basket, because we are digital supermarket as a full basket. We sell everything. And because this, we can develop some strategies such as pricing strategy or trade marketing strategy or category strategy that address directly the customer. Despite the level of the customer, we can understand better the shopper. And by doing that and using AI, we can, of course, deliver a customer experience personalized. So it's like that we are doing today. Of course, it's a journey. Every day we are learning with different customer. The customer change the profile, sometimes start to buy in some categories. And then because a party on the weekend, he changed the categories, or sometimes a different approach in the week, he changed his, let's say, the type of categories that he's order or she's order. And with the automation in AI, we can understand the movements that they are doing. And based on it, we are preparing always the strategy to address directly the right way to create a different experience buying in Justo.
Yeah, well, it is incredible when you don't have the power of not having the brick and mortar stores and everything running online. Yes, you can imagine how much more powerful those data analytics are, and also being able to make predictions so that you can
exactly
better fulfill the orders. And I read somewhere that 80% of orders are repeat order. So you're right. Sometimes there might be a big party that somebody's throwing for the holidays, etc. But in general, you really are getting to know your customers. And I saw that Justo's also starting to partner with providers to produce a lot of its own products, like branded, Justo branded products. And I would imagine that that is also in large part a result of getting to know your customers through those thousands and thousands of transactions.
Exactly. This is true. We are seeing exactly the behavior of the customer and the products that they are buying and the frequency they are buying. And of course, our decision of the products that we are going to deliver and launch as a private label is in base of these statistics.
That's fantastic. And as we talk about this great customer experience that Justo is able to deliver, can you share any examples maybe of something that would make a customer choose Justo over a competitor like Walmart, for example?
Yeah, sure. I have a few. I explain you, let's talk about the timing, no?
Yeah.
If you are going to a supermarket, you have to plan to go in one certain time. You need to go by car. You have to park your car. You have to spend time sometimes to pay the parking lot. You go to do a shopping, and you have a component that is very important. When you go a shopping in the physical store, the study shows that you can buy between 20% or 40% more than to buy, okay? Because you have your list of the products, but sometimes you see a very nice chocolate and say, wow, chocolate, I didn't know that they exist. Let's buy it. So it's normally that the people going shopping in the physical store, they are spending more than in an e-commerce store, let's say, in the digital, because you have a plan, you have to buy, I don't know, a certain type of products or categories or quantities, and you buy, order, and that's it. So when you are going to do a shopping in the physical store, you can spend, I don't know, depends on the families or size, or depends on the person, you can spend 1 hour, 2 hours. Imagine if you go in the frequency twice a month, multiply this for 12 months, right? Imagine the time that we spend. So imagine now that I give you the app or a web that you go to the Justo website, the app Justo, and you can buy your super in 15 minutes, okay? In just 15 minutes. You can use another time to do whatever you want. Or you can read the books, you can meet the friends, you can stay with your family, or you can see a movie, or you can see a whatever. So the end experience, you can do a nice shopping inside of the digital platform, having the tailor-made experience customized for you. Okay, and this is a three components: experience, time, and economy. Another three, supply chains. No, and the supply chains. Imagine you are going to Walmart, for instance, to buy vegetables, and you go to select, tomato. Okay, and we have a lot of people inside of this same area to manipulate the tomato. So, in our case, the tomato comes from the farm directly to our warehouse, goes directly to our customer, and buying one person just to manipulate, to select for you and go with the high quality. So, and the supply chains, a lot of supermarkets have a lot of distributors, sub-distributors, a farm. So we cut almost 70% of this supply chain and goes directly to us, okay? And another advantage is about we are focused on local and organic products and farm. What this means? It means that we are not going to focus on Coca-Cola, or you are not going to focus on, chips, because you know that we don't have any differences in experience to buy Coca-Cola in one side and Coca-Cola in another side.
Right.
But buying vegetable, buying fruits with the high quality, with the high color, this makes a lot of differences for our customers and the personalization.
Sure. Well, I think you put it so well, Paulo, because it really is about savings in so many ways. And especially when we're talking about densely populated areas, traffic can be terrible. And it's contributing to pollution. It's eating up time that can be spent with family and friends. And then by eliminating the intermediaries, as you said, the many who might be handling that same tomato, you're delivering fresher quality and healthier by being able to do things like choose organic. And I can only imagine the cost savings that that means for customers as well. It's fantastic. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about your workforce, which is large, and you are chief people and performance officer. You wear so many different hats. You have a workforce of over 1,000 people across three countries. Is that right, Paulo?
Yeah. Yes, it's right. It's right.
Yeah. So, what have been the most successful programs that you've used to ensure your teams and fulfillment centers are operating efficiently?
Okay, good question. We have divided the strategy in three pillars, okay? One is people, another is process. Always people is first. Another is process, and another is systems, okay? So I'm going one by one just for you to understand. We created from the beginning a DNA program that is our culture, okay? How we need that every person, despite the position, despite the level and where they are, what is our way of working, okay? What is our mindset, okay? What you have to deliver as an excellence experience for the customer, no? Always thinking about the customer. If I'm doing something, always thinking about the customer. So we connected with this DNA program, a people cycle, where you can attract talent with this profile that we want. Always, we work also to develop the high performance teams, because as we are 24/7, we have to deliver results every hour, every slot that the customer needs to buy, a milk and butter in the morning. I have to deliver the same experience if they buy in the evening, if they buy in on Saturday. So the mindset of the team have to be set in the same way, no? And we have written competencies for each level of our employees. And based on these competencies, based on this DNA program, our culture, we evaluate them in a way to perform or not the competencies, the skills that they need, and how we qualify them inside of our company. And we are doing this on the six-month base to provide also the feedback for the teams, to select the pipeline for the company, to develop the leaders, and all programs that we can do to deliver exactly our culture inside of the company. This is the people pillar, okay?
Yeah.
And for our fulfillment centers, and also on other areas that you have, we have a lot of processes, okay? And we cannot do a processes if you not evaluate the processes. So what we did, we write down excellence program that is a program to continuous improvement, okay? Is the way of we can management the system inside our own system, inside of fulfillment centers, and also inside of our company. So we developed also this way of working in terms of the management system that we watch out every step of the process, and always we say that all the process deliver results. So we have connected with every process an indicator, and this, the sum up of all the process indicators per area, contribute with a number of results that you need. So if I deliver in one hour, for example, in one area that is inbound area, and you have to deliver, I don't know, 10 processes, and then these 10 processes, we are going to evaluate 100 points, we have to deliver 100 points. If you deliver 85 points, 90 points, means that your process is not being done in the way that should be. And then we do a feedback, you process the people, you teach them, you do the programs to training them again, do evaluations then again, to guarantee that every process, they don't need to think. They need just to execute. And how to execute? We have the systems. So we develop our own systems. In warehouse management system is our WMS. We develop this, is our own system. We develop also a picking system that is Atlas, that shows every step for our picker, how he need to pick a product in certain area to deliver with the high quality. And also we have all delivering systems. So everything is our own system that we develop. We have I can say that every week or sometimes every day, we develop a new feature and we train the people. They are using the systems with this continuous improvement program that we call excellence program, and also following the process with our people that is very well trained. So I can say in this way that we are doing things in the same way on the three countries that we operate.
You've said so many important things just now, Paulo, and it really helps explain how you have been able to develop such a strong and growing workforce and been an employer of choice. I think that it's critically important that when somebody joins a team that, despite their position, as you said, that everyone understands what the mindset is. And the mission really is to develop that excellent customer experience and develop high performance teams. And the idea of showing your employees how to do it by providing them with written competencies for employees at each level of skills and letting them know how you're going to qualify them and doing it on a regular cadence of every 6 months, it really makes such a difference when you show people what excellence looks like and you make it possible to develop leaders from within. So I just want to say credit to you and Justo for all the excellent programs you've developed.
Yes, it's a hard work to accomplish.
Yes. Yeah, it is. No one said it was going to be easy, but it'll be worth it, right?
Yeah.
So, Paulo, most of our clients are startups who are trying to grow and scale in a rapidly changing world. Do you have any advice for them? How do you and your team approach growth and change management?
Okay, this is a good one too. So let me explain that for me, always I believe that the people is first, okay? And always I because if you have the right people and you have the right management system, you have everything to deliver, okay? But one thing that is very important is that the people knows exactly the rules of the description, the job description that he or she need to deliver, okay? And another component, very important, every person is different person. Every person has skills completely different, know-how completely different. So if you select a person to put in the wrong place, the wrong person, you are going to have the wrong results or bad results. So what you are trying to do to deliver the change management, always we try to explain and to prepare the plans in a way that we are putting the right people in the right place, no? And we describe if you need to change the management system or not. And we are evaluated every month. So we have a dental inside of our management system. You have weekly reviews, you have daily reviews, and you have monthly reviews. With BI providing data, insights, we are changing the way what we are doing things. And if you need to change again, we can change again. But you need always to set up exactly if you have the right people in the right place, the right pipeline, because sometimes you don't have pipeline inside. And if the people decided to go and you don't have replace to he or she, you have a problem. So we write down everything about that. And also we build the right structure to deliver the change management. So, and for this reason, always we are trying to monitoring if the change that we are doing, the structures that we change with the people that are in place are correct one. If not, we are changing again until we set up the right way to deliver growth.
Makes perfect sense. And Paulo, I want to continue to pull on that thread. You've developed into a late stage company. Have you had to continue adjusting to maintain your growth?
Yes, always, always. I can give you an example, okay?
Great.
Let's say the tech structure, because always we are talking now in this moment on the world that the data teams, the tech teams, and the BI teams always is a staff people to find out, to contract and to retain. No, but I'm telling you that, for example, we were developing the futures and launching the new futures and website. Okay.
Yeah.
And we saw that the people in Mexico and Brazil, they are using more apps, but we don't have developers of apps. We have developers of webs, and you don't have expertise of apps. So what we have to do, we have to change the strategy to grow the orders came from the apps instead of web, and you have to deliver futures in apps, not in web. Mm. What we did, we changed completely design of the structure of tech. And we start to contract more people to develop the backend and the features that you need to have inside of app, building a new structure of developers and also the engineers to deliver this app, because otherwise the customers is willing to buy an app, but it's so poor because we don't have the features, we don't have the new versions. And we are losing sales because we keep following the strategy of having teams to deliver a web futures. So this is one example. No? Another example is about talent acquisition teams. So if my talent acquisition teams doesn't know how to contract developers, engineers to perform apps, so I have to change also the talent acquisition teams, because probably they don't have the skills to find out the better developer and how to evaluate, because it's also difficult to evaluate and to create the mechanism to know if this person has the right profile, the right skills to develop app versus web. So we have also to change the profiles of our talent acquisition. So this is two examples. Instead that if you're keeping the same people doing the same thing and the strategy change, you have to change the structure as well. If the strategy change, your structure probably is not the same or is not fit very well the strategy that we want right now. So, and we have to change the team structure.
Yeah, listen, shifting from web developers to app developers and the related impact on talent acquisition, I think those are really perfect examples of dealing with growth and change management. So thank you very much for that. And now let's shift gears, if we can, to life balance. This impacts everyone at a fast-paced tech startup. How do you and your team maintain speed but prevent burnout?
This is a very good question. It's a difficult one. But again, it's about people, right? And about planning very well what we are doing with your teams, right?
Yes.
Despite that, you have different leaders and different way of doing things. If you have the right management system, the right target set, the right approach in the, not in the, let's say, micromanagement or micromanagement, but if you have planned very well your time with your team, during the week, because sometimes you're talking about agile, right? No, need to be agile, need to deliver with the high speed. It's not that, okay?
Yeah.
High speed or maintain speed is when you have a tool where you put everything that you need to do and you put a timeline and you start to deliver exactly what you need on the time that you deliver according to the time request. And of course, in a way that you do sessions to guarantee the speed of the team to deliver such things. But it's different that you have, oh no, let's speed and we have to deliver this one and that one. Without you have a plan, you are not going to deliver. You are going to burn out the people because you are not balanced and they don't know how to deliver and which speed they need. And what's the communication that you are doing with them? Is a clear communication or not, why they are doing that. So for us, it's very important that the way that they are doing the things is delivering a strategy that is designed with those topics that they should deliver. And to deliver those topics, we have several actions or initiatives or bugs to correct or futures to develop, and this should be in place in a methodology way that you can control them and they know how they go on. I don't know, I have 1,000 things to deliver, I deliver 800, I have already 8% accomplished, very well, celebrate, congratulations, let's take a rest and come back next week to deliver another 20. So if you don't have this measure, and any methodology to deliver this one, the people missing what they are doing. And we start to push people to deliver things. They don't know why they have to deliver. And we put a lot of hours in place. It's not that you work hard and many hours, you are good. No, you can deliver things in the smart way, in intelligent way, in less hours, and then take a rest. Go to the weekend, take your family, and then come back to deliver the same speed, another 20 things. So I think it should be in this way. We are trying to do every time this way. Of course, depends on the leader, but is it the way that you are pushed and is part of our culture, what you try to build inside of our DNA program?
Absolutely, absolutely. Communication is key. And helping the team understand the why and the strategy and that it's not about going full speed all the time, but taking the right pauses and then coming back and delivering again. It makes for a healthier, happier, and more productive workforce, for sure.
Exactly.
Paulo, I hate to bring our discussion to a close, but we're just about at the time for our episode, which we've so much enjoyed. But I want to give you a chance to share your final thoughts with our audience. So the last question for you is, what advice would you give a new people leader, or just in general leader at a startup?
For any leader, you have to know your team. You have to have, let's say, sense of genuine interest for the team. You need to know what are the strengths of your team, the weaknesses of your team, what the main development that you need with your team before you start work with your team. So for me, if you take a team and start to doing things without you knowing them very well, you can do mistakes and leading their problems with your problems, and then they will not deliver results. And you can burn out the people. You can generate turnover inside of your team. So first of all, know your team, and together, because everybody is different, and together we can complement each other. And with the strengths, we have to work with the strengths of their teams, not to try to develop the weaknesses that they have to be strengths, because this takes a lot of time. So discover what the strengths of your team, with these strengths, consolidate your team and deliver results, and you can build a very nice high-performance teams.
Such fantastic advice. Thank you so much for joining us today, Paulo, and for all your invaluable insights on scaling operations, managing change, and building sustainable growth in today's dynamic market. Thank you, Paulo.
Thank you, Nathalie, for the invitation once again. It was amazing, this conversation. And yes, let's keep in touch.
Absolutely. And listeners, you know, as we've heard, companies like Giusto aren't just changing how we shop, they're creating new models for how businesses can grow while prioritizing both their teams and their communities. I want to thank our listeners for joining us on another episode of Future Work Playbook. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon, where we continue to bring you conversations with leaders who are defining what's next in business and work. Until next time.
You've just listened to the Future Work Playbook. This podcast series is brought to you by Gunderson Dettmer, the world's number one law firm representing venture capital funds and high growth companies. Join Natalie Pierce on our next episode as she and her guests help prepare your organization for the future. Please subscribe to the Future Work Playbook.